Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, my friends. This is Mickey Desai, your host for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. Today, I'm really honored to have Michelle Terman with me. Terman is the CEO of Catalyst Consulting Services, whose mission is to facilitate positive change in the areas of executive searches, organizational management, and fundraising. With over 24 years of nonprofit experience, Michelle established Catalyst Consulting Services and has been responsible for increasing the impact and best practices of nonprofit organizations she serves, and has raised over $60 million for the Tampa Bay community through her professional and philanthropic efforts. Michelle, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me, Mickey.
My first question for you is, how do you raise over $60 million?
Well, just as in business, everything's relationship-based. Mm-hmm. So I feel really fortunate over the years to have assisted organizations and clients in raising that money. But to be quite frankly, it's because of the fact that they have those relationships we were able to build on to make such transformational gifts. Mm-hmm. And those organizations, quite frankly, have moved away from that transactional mindset.
They've moved away from that?
Yeah, so, you know, the types of fundraising that we tend to focus on are not necessarily special events or, you know, things that are more transactional. When we focus on capital campaigns or annual giving or planned giving, these are large gifts that take time to cultivate. Mm-hmm. And those organizations that have invested in the foundation for their organization to fundraise that way really allows itself to bear such large transformational gifts when we are looking at capital campaigns or major gifts. And so we tend to focus more with organizations and setting them up for long-term sustainability versus just the short-term sustainability.
Which seems like the correct way to do it to me. I'm surprised that people would be moving away from that.
Well, no, that, I mean, what I'm saying is that's where I see the trend going.
They're
moving towards that sustainability. You know, many organizations, particularly small ones or ones that have not invested in the right staff or the right systems and infrastructure, are doing more transactional fundraising and really, you know, just kind of hanging on year by year by their budget. Maybe they're heavily contract funded. And really, we've seen a trend that sort of started in 2008 when that was the tough economy, and we start to see a decrease in state funds. They are moving to a more sustainable model, something that's more relationship-based. Although we still see nonprofits that, you know, quite frankly, that have not set that up. In every year, they make difficult decisions if a funding source should decrease or fall by the wayside, or as we see more nonprofits forming missions, having to make really difficult decisions about laying off staff or decreasing programs or closing up shop because they didn't make that transition. So that's why we've been able to have success and raise over $65 million is we really select partners that are fundraising in a more sustainable fashion. But we also work with nonprofits that are moving to that model, that have realized, you know, this transactional fundraising is not working if we're not really utilizing it as a gateway to cultivate relationships for the long term.
So how then do we talk to small to medium-sized nonprofits in particular and help them to stay diversified and look at making the right kind of relationships work for them as they do their work, you know, as they try to forward their missions?
Sure. I think where we have found the sweet spot as a firm, and for me, it was based on my experience. For 17 years, I was a CEO, and then I moved into the realm of human services coming from sort of the arts, which is the most difficult area of fundraising. And so as a CEO, as a certified fundraiser, there were three things I saw as to why nonprofits have had not success in that area and how we could help them. They didn't hire right. Meaning they were just filling the hole. They weren't looking at a position that either in development or with the CEO or COO that would really invest in doing business the right way. Sound policies and procedures from an organizational management standpoint where you hire correctly, where you have gift acceptance policies, human resource policies that leads to retaining good staff. It leads to the type of diversification and funds that you want to see. And then thirdly, when we look at our feasibility studies or large capital campaign fundraising, that speaks to that sustainable model. And so if we are invited to work with a nonprofit as a partner in any of those veins, for looking for the talent, to strengthening their infrastructure, or to having an impact on an $8 to $125 million campaign, for example, we're working on now, we're able to really have a crucial conversation about what their staffing looks like, and that they're building up a staff that is not going to have a lot of turnover in 2 to 3 years, which sometimes is the norm in fundraising. We're making sure that they have an HR model, quite frankly, intact, that they can have a way to retain those staff either through professional development or a more trajectory with the organization. And that we look at the types of fundraising they're doing and creating a development plan that, quite frankly, has a mixture of all. So even if it's a small shop, maybe it's a mixture of grant writing, a mixture of there is a special event in there simply as a point of entry. But then we also look 3 to 5 years out as to how do we turn those transactional short-term fundraising pieces that we can move them along in 7 to 8 touches a year and cultivate them for larger gifts, major gifts, and move on to planned gifts. So if we have the opportunity to come in and really facilitate change, it always comes down to those three areas. Who do you have in place that's doing the job? Do you have the policies and procedures in place that will allow you to have these types of fundraising mechanisms? And lastly, does your development plan speak to diversification? Because really, we know what has not changed is 72% out of that pie chart of the National Giving USA is individuals. And so if your development plan and your staff is not used to focusing on building relationships, and instead they're hiding behind special events and simply filling a budget number, or the staff is so green and hasn't had the training to do that, that is a mixture of not having a sustainable future. And so that's really how we come in and make the change, have the conversation, qualify the partners that we work with, and why we have the relationships we have in the Southeast, because we are helping them create a model and they're seeing the success.
I'm intrigued on several different levels here. Is there a worst case scenario that you've ever encountered?
There is, and usually it's with our smaller nonprofits that are saying, hey, Michelle, we just need a little bit of marketing. The marketing people will know about us. We need to focus on the branding first, or if we can just do grants first and get a pop of money in the door, and we'll get to that later. And so there is the reality of what you need to do to sustain yourself. But grants are more competitive these days. And that's a challenge. And sometimes you don't see that rate of return with a grant writer, whether it's contractual or internal, for quite some time. And you really have to have a pretty good output each quarter to result in revenue to even see that return in grants. And so that's the challenge we see. They go straight to the grants, they go straight to special events for that quick sort of shot in the arm. And they get on what we call the special event hamster wheel, right? They never do an ROI or return on investment look at the end of the event to see what they really raised, minus expenses and minus staff time. And so it's a delicate balance. So we try to work with them to say, okay, what are the challenges? Is it marketing? Okay, well, then maybe we look at a fundraiser for the first year, but we need to look at what happens after that fundraiser. What are the touches afterward that they get to know the organization, because that's where a lot of people fail with special events. So there are some that we sit down and we say, okay, if we can agree the first year or two that we're going to use this as a mechanism, but we have to move in a different direction, or you're going to burn and churn any staff that comes through the door, and you're never going to really have those relationships that, quite frankly, sustain relationships long term. And even if a funding source bows out, then you have people that if something happens, you can go to them and say, you know what, we want to continue this program. Would you consider helping us? So we do have those nonprofits that, because we start nonprofits, we merge nonprofits. And so that is a conversation we have with some of our smaller nonprofits.
There was one thing I wanted to focus on, grants, and then I knew I should have written this down when you said it.
That's okay. Special events.
That's it. Special events.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm very glad to hear you talk about diversification. And I think it's very easy for nonprofits to think about events as the mainstay of their fundraising agenda. And I've always regarded events as simply a good way to go broke in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Again, it should be a point of entry for any nonprofit, meaning it's a way for people to learn about your organization. It's a way for board members or people with sphere of influence to invite the organization. But it shouldn't be used as a means to just throw a great party. The question always should be, why are we doing this event? Why? And is this the best way to accomplish it? So I always ask people, I'm sure you've been to a special event. I go to quite a few of them on behalf of my client. If there's an ask made at the event, there's a ticket that's purchased, there's an auction, you know, you probably buy the ticket, maybe you're the guest, you give a couple bucks to the auction, a raffle, whatever they have. But what is it that they do after the event to engage you and bring you back in? Or are you just simply invited the next year? And so if that organization really cannot even start with 3 touches, as we would say, just 3. I mean, the goal is 7 to 8 touches per individual a year to try to bring them in. And that's not asking for money. It's a tour of your organization so they can touch it, feel it, see it. It might be a simple thank you letter. It might be a newsletter, an e-newsletter, so they know what you're doing. It doesn't have to cost a lot, but maybe you have them come in and volunteer. But those touches are to bring them closer into the organization, right? Mm-hmm. So if they can't map out what those touches would be, because many of these special events are not done at the nonprofit. You know, you think about some of the larger national organizations, for example, these large walks for breast cancer. You think of all these things. Well, if you go to that, and that's very emotional, and it's that power of the collective, but what happens after that? What happens? So I always challenge people to think about what you've been invited to. And if you never gave anything again to that organization, never invited to participate, then you've been, quite frankly, a victim of that transactional type of giving. And that's a waste because you've had a captive audience in some form of another and you did not maximize on that. So that's what, you know, special events have their place, and I have no problem with that being part of the initial mix of how they get people in the door. It's what you do afterwards. So it's almost as important to plan the next steps as part of the event as it is to have the event.
Always. I think that should always be on the agenda. How do you convert your friends into funders? And, you know, how do you convert a visitor into a donor?
Absolutely.
Michelle, this has been great. And I know we didn't really talk about the succession planning or the change management ideas that we originally mentioned. can we do a second or maybe even a third episode to talk about those things?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Because they go hand in hand, right?
Yeah.
Your talent, and you're only as good as the people around you.
That's right. If a listener wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
2 ways. They can go to our website, which is catalystcs.org. That's catalyst, C as in cat, S as in Sam.org. Our phone number is 813-839-2282. They can see what we do. They can see who our team is. We have our client list. We have resources for nonprofits that might be of assistance and testimonials from a lot of the clients that we've had impact. And we also have a book that we've published that they can purchase through our website if there's different topics that are of interest to them. We are very accessible. We're also on Twitter. We are also on Facebook and LinkedIn, on Catalyst Consulting Services. They can also check me out at Michelle Terman on all of those platforms.
Excellent. Great. To our listeners, thanks for joining us for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. We will see you in about a week.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.